Welcome back to TrueNAS Tech Talk. This week, Chris and I will be digging into the details on TrueNAS 2510 RC1 landing in a couple of weeks. We've got some helpful fixes and new features to discuss. We'll go into the laundry list of changes in the OpenZFS 2.3.4 release that's coming with it. All this and a teaser on a new feature that we're building for Half Moon coming up next. So we've got the next release of TrueNAS 2510 RC1 looking to ship out in a little bit less than 2 weeks before the end of September here, Chris. There's quite a few notable items here coming. I know we're doing a new little point release of OpenZFS. We're going to get to 2.3.4, and we'll have more on that in a moment. But before we get to that list, I think you got a couple of new changes in the VM system that people will be excited about here.
Yeah, I mentioned this during beta, something that didn't quite make the cut that we wanted in, but it landed for RC1, so I'm happy again. This is good, which is for the VM side, being able to import and export disk images. That always has seemed like just a gap we've had in the VM implementation going back to forever. So the way it'll work in RC1 is you'll have the ability to point to a disk image. A VM image could be a VMDK, a VDI, QCOW2, whatever, right? It's pretty much supports about everything. Point to that somewhere on your pool. So if you've uploaded one via SMB or SFTP or however you like to do that, that's cool. And then in the back end, we'll be able to ingest that and convert it into RAW, put it on a ZVol so that you can point your VM at that, and away you go. That way you're not having to run it off of a disk image or a RAW image file directly off the file system. Yep. ZVol is going to give you better performance.
And no more needing to go to the command line for tricks to convert it, you know, piping it through that QCOW image conversion. And then, because we're doing it from the pool, we don't have to worry about like HTTP session sizes or timeouts or things like that. We'll just be able to say, hey, take it directly off the pool, clone it into a ZVol. I mean, if you were doing multiple VMs for some reason out of this, you'd even get the benefit of it's going to be cached the first time. So your conversion should be even faster.
Yeah, no, it's handy. It's one of those convenience things we've just wanted in there for a long time, but it works great the other direction too. If you want to go and take your VM ZVol image and then dump it to some other disk image format to export, you know, import, export, make your VMs a bit more portable. Again, it was just a missing piece we didn't have. We're happy to see that land. Glad that made the cut for RC1. You'll have that in your sweaty hands here in a few weeks. So be patient just a little bit longer.
Awesome. I think we got a few fixes in for that new NVMe over TCP service as well, right, Chris?
Yep.
People were experimenting
NVMe
with
over
that.
TCP. Yeah, that's a brand new net new service. And this is always what happens when we put something brand new in the software. There's always kind of that initial introductory period where we go and we shake out issues. We look for edge cases. Thank you for everybody who sent in feedback. We fixed a whole slew of things around that service. So again, keep the testing up. Let us know in RC1 if you run into any new issues, but there's almost too many things to go through here, but a lot of good fixes there.
Yeah. On the subject of bug fixes, we've also fixed the bug around submitting the tickets, I believe. The feedback button was fixed in RC1. So we understand there were a few people who said, you know, hey, if this is a beta and I'm supposed to be testing, how come it's not letting me submit the feedback? So we have caught that one. We corrected that. So you should be able to use the little, you know, smiley face feedback icon in the taskbar again for your much more convenient means of submitting your tickets and your debugs in. Yeah.
Bugs in the bug submitting. Go figure.
Exactly.
But speaking of interesting bugs, and this one's kind of amusing and annoying, and it's one of those things where you look at it and go, oh man, I never would have guessed that. But we had fixed previously a super annoying bug around the fact that some people's devices have empty SD card readers. You remember what those are?
Yeah.
Right? It seems like a long time ago, right? But some people still have them present, and I don't know why you'd have them on your NAS unless you are ingesting via SD card, but cool. Anyway, the issue was you couldn't create a pool properly when there was an empty SD card reader slot present. The middleware got confused because there was a device presenting itself, but you couldn't actually query it. There was nothing there, especially when there's no SD card inserted. So we fixed that previously, but then for RC1, of course, you fix one thing and you get rewarded by having to fix more things, right? So we then needed some subsequent fixes to go and fix the same empty SD card reader issue when you have temperature reporting running. It turned out that was messing up. So wonderful. Okay. That's now been corrected as well. Glad to have that fixed there. Again, one of those things where we've seen a slew of people say, hey, my temps don't work. And we're sitting here pulling our hair out like, well, why? What's going on? You know, it works on our system. So most of our systems don't have an SD card reader slot. So go figure.
Yeah. And that's what submitting in these, you know, the bug reports with your debugs in there so that we can comb through the middleware log, see where that piece is falling over. And when we say, hey, it's trying to query this device that somehow exists, but doesn't. It's like Schrodinger's SD card here, where it says, hey, I'm a block device, but I'm not going to respond to anything you're asking me. Yeah. And it just tripped up the middleware and said, hey, I don't know what to do with this. So rather than trying to continue in a state where it might be potentially doing the wrong thing, it said, I've got to stop. And now, now we've figured out how to get around that point and say, okay, well, this is an SD card reader with an empty slot and it's going to have some weird behavior. But other bugs that people are going to be really happy to get rid of. Those of you who are looking to migrate from TrueNAS Core over to TrueNAS Community Edition, we fixed the upgrade bug that was in regards to your system starting life as Core and it had a different partition layout on the boot device.
Well, to be clear, this was if you've already made the migration, but you started life as a Core box. So say you migrated to scale some point early on and you've been humming along. And then along the way, you hit this boot upgrade bug where Grub, you know, basically barfed and said, I can't update the bootloader. Well, we finally were able to take a look at that. Some of the really old Core systems, we had different partition layouts on the boot devices, which makes sense. We just had to teach Grub to accommodate those a little bit more gracefully and continue on. So that should be fixed. That'll, I think, fix a slew of people who, again, have some of those boot devices that go way back, some even into the FreeNAS days. We had to go back into the archives to quash that one and figure out what went wrong.
Yeah, it's not going to be, I don't think we have a hard limit on exactly, you know, this is the patch release. We might be able to find it, but in general, if you're